Good morning. You're listening to Short Stories with Mrs. Sam, brought to you by the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon and Robin Hood Radio. Tune in every week on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. to WHDD 91.9 FM to catch our show. My name is Mrs. Sam. I'm the Children's Librarian at Hotchkiss Library of Sharon. We have all sorts of wonderful books there for children of all ages, and lovely crafting and story times besides. The weather is warm enough for us to have outside library programs. Join us for our summer reading kickoff party on June 18th. You can find information on all the events we hold for children and adults alike on our website, HotchkissLibraryofSharon.org, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/HotchkissLibrary. We are open by appointment for browsing and borrowing and computer use every day of the week. This week, Humphrey Rolston will be reading with me. Today's stories will come from Penguin Random House's Been There, Done That. First, Humphrey will read the story Dart the Dragonhound by Dee Garrison. I will then read the tale from real life that inspired the author, A Dog Named Kitty. Here is Humphrey Rolston reading Dart the Dragonhound by Dee Garrison.
Piggy whined at the red sky, swirling over the wastelands to the south of the castle, and then slunk down low to crawl behind the woodpile, so only his nose and his front paws were visible. "Silly dog," I said, "the sky can't hurt you." One of the cooks came out of the kitchen. "Rowan, when you've done sweeping the yard, we need more wood inside." She glanced at the sky and made a sign against evil. "Nothing can burn like that for so many months." Piggy whined again, and the cook peered around, trying to spot him. "Don't let that pest of a dog in when you bring the wood. He gets underfoot." "I won't," I promised. I kept Piggy close to me so he'd not run afoul of my grandfather, the king's kennel master. "I should have drowned that dog when it was a pup," he'd mutter every time he saw Piggy. "The runt of the litter is never any good, and that dog is proof. Barking at nothing, chasing its own tail, chewing on everything, it's worthless." Since my brothers called me the runt of the litter too, born the smallest of us, and with one leg shorter than the other, I always tried to defend Piggy, but my grandfather would just frown and stomp away. Piggy couldn't get into too much trouble under the wood rack, so I left him there and went back to sweeping. A chattering of girls' voices from behind the gate warned me that the princess and her horde of ladies-in-waiting were about to invade the yard. Before I could disappear, the princess spotted me. "Rowan, where's my little piggy?" she called as she dashed out the gate. She stopped in the middle of the yard and spun around, her arms raised high and her head flung back, making her long brown hair swirl. Every time she came outside, she did that as if it being free. I ducked my head and managed to choke out a few words. "He's under the woodpile, m'lady." I wanted to kick myself for not being able to speak up in her presence, but the sight of the princess always made me feel awkward and tongue-tied. "Here, little piggy, piggy," she crooned as she went over to the woodpile. Immediately, Piggy crawled out on his belly, wagging his tail. He loved the princess, though she only remembered his existence once in a while. "That's not a pig," a tall girl said. "That's a dog." I didn't recognize this one, who had a pinched look to her face, but since the ladies-in-waiting came and went on some schedule I didn't understand, it wasn't surprising that I'd never seen her before. "He was a little piggy when he was a puppy," the princess said. "He climbed right in the middle of the food bowl and gobbled down all the food he could before the bigger puppies got it all. I gave him his name. Isn't he adorable? Just like a little black piglet." No one answered right away, though I knew what they were thinking. Piggy was anything but adorable. His legs had never grown long like the other hunting dogs, and while he was not exactly fat, he was far more round in the belly than the other dogs since he didn't go hunting. "Rowan, have you taught him any tricks yet?" the princess asked. I wanted to disappear under the woodpile myself. I'm teaching him to fetch, I mumbled. I didn't add that the lessons weren't going well. I'd throw a stick, and Piggy would just sit beside me, his head tipped to the side, like he was wondering when I was going to retrieve the stick I'd just thrown. My father says dogs should be useful or they aren't worth keeping, the pinched-faced girl said. Fetching isn't useful. He did catch a snake, I said. It had surprised both Piggy and me when he pounced on the thing as it slithered across the keep. I doubted the dog had ever seen one before. Snakes were rare in the north. The princess looked impressed, so the rest of the girls did not. She started to speak, but a low rumble from the south distracted her. The red in the sky had darkened, more like the color of blood now. A shiver ran down my back. It's getting closer, the princess whispered. The air smells strange, like something foul is burning. One of the smaller girls asked, what do you think the sky means? What could burn for so long? The girl next to her said, my mother thinks it's a big volcano. I hope the lava doesn't cover us all up. The tall girl said, my father believes it's a dragon storm. The dragons come from the south and burn the land until there is nothing left. There haven't been dragons for thousands of years, not even in the south, the princess said. It's probably just a dust storm. Piggy chose that moment to have one of his barking fits. No one knew what set them off, but Piggy would go into a flurry of movement, twisting around and barking hysterically, but always at nothing anyone else could see. Silly dog! The princess clapped her hands and laughed as if Piggy were putting on a show. I could see the dog trembling, though, like he was terrified of something. I wish I knew how to stop him. Finally, Piggy exhausted himself and collapsed on the ground. We all stood there looking at the dog until a bell sounded in the chapel. We have to go, Rowan, the princess said. But you'll give poor little Piggy some water, won't you? He looks thirsty. She gathered up her skirts and headed back in through the door, the ladies-in-waiting following. That dog is an embarrassment to the king, my grandfather's deep voice came from behind me. It's time to be rid of it. As if he understood, Piggy slunk back under the wood rack. No, the king hasn't ever seen Piggy act like that. And anyway, the princess likes Piggy. She thinks he's her dog. Grandfather snorted. She'd forget about him the moment he was gone, just like any trinket of hers. Royalty has too much of everything to care about any one thing. Next time she's off on a visit somewhere, the dog goes. He walked away. I wanted to yell after him, but I didn't. Grandfather had a heavy hand when he was angered. Besides, he'd never change his mind. I felt sick at the thought of what was going to happen. Piggy crawled back out and pushed his nose into my hand, the heat raiding off his skin like he was burning up. Let's get you some water, I said, determined not to cry. The next morning, Piggy took up a spot on the far side of the yard, staring at the sky to the south. He wouldn't even eat the bun I tried to share with him, so I took up my morning chores. Before I got very far, my grandfather found me. I need you to come with me today to help with the dogs. The king wants to hunt, and that fool of a helper of mine broke his leg last night climbing a wall to impress a girl. He shook his head in disgust. A few of the younger dogs are going out for the first time today, and if they don't behave, I want you to bring them back. Yes, sir, I said, glancing over at Piggy. I hoped the dog wouldn't try to follow, but I didn't need to worry. Piggy didn't seem to notice when I left, too busy watching the sky. In the kennel yard, the excited dogs milled about, though they quieted at the sight of my grandfather. He stooped down to pick something up, and I saw his whip on the ground instead of on its usual hook. Some dog, Piggy most likely, had pulled it off its hook and chewed it in two. When Grandfather stood back up, his face was as red as the sky. "That mutt goes in the river the minute we get back." I didn't let my grandfather see the panic his words caused me. All sorts of ideas jumped into my head. Piggy and I could run away. I could find a job in the village somewhere, working in a livery stable or helping out at an inn. There was no way I'd let Piggy be drowned. During the hunt, I vowed I'd make a plan. I was surprised to see the princess on her pony, accompanied by a few of her ladies on theirs. She even had her bow and arrow with her. Though it was so small, it was more like a child's toy than a real weapon. "Papa, should we really go south?" the princess asked her father. "Some of the girls are frightened of the sky." "Don't worry," the king said. "The scouts I sent out reported nothing unusual." His words assured the princess, who smiled and signaled her ladies to follow her. But I wasn't so sure. It didn't matter what I thought, though. We set off, walking behind the hunters for a time, until the huntmaster signaled for silence. A stag stood on top of a nearby hill. The king rode forward, followed by the rest of the hunters. Just as the king raised his bow, a dog barked, alerting the stag, who leapt away. I cringed. I hadn't seen Piggy come up behind us. He stood and continued to bark, louder than I'd ever heard him, facing the south, eyes poised on the red sky. I tried to move between Piggy and my grandfather as my grandfather ran forward, but I couldn't get there in time. He kicked the dog in the side. Piggy's body flew up in the air and landed hard. The king's face was thunderous as he turned back. He drew closer and stared down at Piggy, who lay in the dirt. I prayed the dog was still breathing, though if he was, I didn't know what my grandfather would do. "Kennel master," the king's voice boomed. "Where did this dog come from?"
"Sire," one of the hunters shouted, "look above."
A black cloud bore down on us, a swirling mass of flying creatures.
"Is it dragons?" someone yelled.
"Too small for dragons," the king said. "It looks just like some kind of big black birds." There were nervous laughs from the group, but then a terrible choking stench filled the air.
"I'm not sure birds," the princess said.
We all froze as a flock passed over us. One of the creatures veered out and dove down, landing right next to the king.
"What? What is it?" someone asked.
The thing before us looked like a bit of an image of a dragon I'd once seen on a banner, but it was only the size of a very large, skinny bird. It seemed more like a snake with wings and legs than some legendary creature. The thing's head swung back and forth, its yellow eyes fixed on the king. A squawk came from it like a chicken, though no chicken ever smelled so bad.
"So much for a fearsome dragon," the king laughed, and dismounted from his horse, drawing his sword.
The dragon opened its mouth, and an enormous blast of fire shot forth, engulfing the king. The scene turned to chaos as horses bolted in every direction. Some of the men surrounded the king, beating at the flames. The dogs fled, even though my grandfather shouted them to stay. The princess tried to get her pony under control, but the animal was frantic. It took off running, the princess clinging to the reins. The creature took to the air again, and I saw it was heading in the same direction as the princess. I ran after them, cursing my too short leg, which slowed me down. The dragon caught up to the pony, circling overhead. The pony stumbled, nearly going down. It recovered, but then stumbled again, its legs quivering. I could see it had gone lame. The dragon landed, only feet away from the princess. Throwing herself off her pony, the princess positioned herself between it and the dragon, like she was going to protect the animal from the dragon's fire. She pulled her bow off the saddle and grabbed an arrow out of the quiver.
"No!" I shouted.
Even if that little arrow hit, it would only anger the creature.
I didn't realize Piggy had followed me until he came around from behind me and lunged at the creature, grabbing it by its neck. The dragon struggled, and its tail lashed about, hitting Piggy hard in the side, but the dog didn't let go. I leapt forward and grabbed the end of the tail, nearly dropping it as I felt it burn my palm. I hung on, hoping one of the hunters would come to help. The princess raised her bow and took aim. I closed my eyes and held my breath, thinking the arrow would surely hit Piggy or me. Time stood still. The dragon's tail went limp in my grasp. I exhaled. "You can open your eyes, Rowan," the princess said. The creature was dead, an arrow piercing its throat. I dropped the tail as people ran up and surrounded us. Piggy was the hero of the day, though I got my share of the attention too. The king turned out to have only minor burns, his heather leather jerkin and leggings protecting him from the worst of the dragon flame. His beard and his eyebrows suffered the most damage, but they soon grew back. My grandfather had the sense to take the stinking carcass back to the castle, using it to train some of the as dragon hunters. I helped him. When the dragons came back, we were ready. Piggy would always be the canine hunt master, dancing and circling around the creatures that landed. He'd wait for just the right moment and then dart into the attack, pinning down the beast until one of the hunters could kill it. Then he'd move on to the next dragon, quickly darting after it and pinning it down. He was relentless in his dart and tackle method of dragon hunting. The princess renamed him Dart the Dragon Hound for his exploits. He got to sit at her feet in the great hall during dinner, eating the titbits she fed him, though he still kept me company the rest of the time. He and I moved into a loft above the kennels, where I took over as assistant kennel master. Piggy never did learn any regular dog tricks, but he didn't need them. Taking down dragons was the best trick of all.
That was Humphrey Rolston reading Dart the Dragon Hound by Dee Gerritsen. And I'm Mrs. Sam, the children's librarian at Hotchkiss Library of Sharon. Now I'm going to read you what really happened, the story that inspired the story. This is A Dog Named Kitty by Dee Gerritsen. My sister deserves the blame for the dog's name. Even though I picked out the puppy, the liveliest one in the litter, my older sister won the name game. She thought it would be funny to call, "Here, Kitty," and when a dog came running, people would laugh. It might have been funny if Kitty had ever learned to come when called. She didn't. In fact, she never learned anything remotely resembling good dog behavior. Kitty started off with one big disadvantage. Our previous pet had been a wonder dog named Queenie, who set a high standard for all the pets that followed. Queenie knew actual dog tricks, lots of them. Kitty, on the other hand, couldn't begin to do a trick. She'd look at me with a puzzled expression when I'd try to teach her to sit or shake hands or play dead. I like to think that she just decided it was silly to do such things, though I suspect it was actually a distinct lack of doggy intelligence. Not only did Kitty fail in the trick category, but she also had an annoying habit of barking at imaginary things. Most dogs bark at strangers or squirrels or other dogs. Kitty ignored all those. Instead, we'd find her standing in the middle of the room, barking fiercely at some terrible thing in front of her that only she could see. She also chewed up everything. No shoe was safe. This did not endear her to my mother, who loved shoes far more than animals. If one of her shoes fell victim, my mother would take a broom after the dog and banish her to the garage. Kitty's worst offense occurred one Christmas Eve. My mother liked to do themed Christmas trees, and one year she decorated the whole tree in cardinals and red bows. It took her a long time to get the ornaments in just the right places, and she was very pleased with the end result. Kitty lay nearby, her eyes tracking each ornament placement. Later that night, I should have been suspicious when she didn't follow me into my room to sleep. I got up early Christmas morning to discover what had occupied her during the night, Red feathers and bits of plastic birds covered the floor. Though Kitty couldn't do a regular dog trick, she'd apparently mastered leaping up in the air and nabbing birds off the tree. Banished yet again to the garage, Kitty spent the day barking at imaginary garage invaders, not realizing she was skirting close to a drastic banishment, a permanent one. Kitty's happier times were spent at our cabin by the lake. My mother didn't come there often, and even when she did, there wasn't a garage. Kitty loved riding in the boat and swimming in the lake with us. There also seemed to be far fewer imaginary invaders. The cabin wasn't fancy. Most of it was just one big room. At night, we'd lay out sleeping bags on the floor, wherever there was space, and listen to the crickets until we fell asleep. Kitty would curl up at the end of my sleeping bag and doze, occasionally growling in her dreams. One ordinary night, we were jolted awake by Kitty's frantic barking. My father yelled at her to be quiet, but she wouldn't. Grumbling, he turned on the light. Kitty grew more frantic, barking hysterically at my sister's sleeping bag. My sister, not a cheerful person when woken in the night, added her voice to the yelling, but Kitty continued to bark. When I went to grab the dog's collar, I noticed something small scurry under the sleeping bag. My father flipped up the end to reveal a scorpion, the nasty, stinging insect we feared but rarely saw. We knew a sting could result in a trip to the hospital, so we were always careful outside, but it had never occurred to us one could get inside to crawl around the sleeping bags. My father disposed of the invader. My sister was saved. Kitty was hailed as a hero dog, taking her place in our family history alongside Queenie, the wonder dog. After that, Kitty still barked at nothing and chewed up shoes, but her place with us was secure. I made her a bed for the times she spent in the garage and dragged a chair out to keep her company. I think she appreciated the companionship, sure that the two of us would be more than enough to keep those invisible intruders pinned down in the garage and out of the house. The end. Thank you for listening to Short Stories with Mrs. Sam, brought to you by the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon and Robin Hood Radio. We read from Penguin Random House's collection of shorts, Been There, Done That. Tune in every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. to WHDD 91.9 FM to catch our show. Sounds in this recording were from freesound.org.